Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. Today, we're going to be talking to a CPA, certified public accountant, a highly experienced CPA who can help all of us and give us some information I'm sure that all of us need to know. I know we're beyond the April 15th tax date, but there are still many other dates that are important in the world of taxes. We're going to talk about those and a little bit about his experience. You know, there comes a time of the year when you have to have an accountant to get you through the tax season or make sense of your finances. And generally, an accounting firm does your tax forms by the filing deadline. But beside taxes, you also need guidance to ensure your financial well-being so that you can navigate the complex world of managing your money. And fortunately, there are CPA firms that take you to a whole new level of providing other valuable services, from bookkeeping, paving a path to entrepreneurial success, and show you how to live a life of wealth and abundance. In order to get all this or achieve all this, you have to have the wisdom and experience of a trained professional like Neil Fishman. It is so great to welcome Neil back to us. I can tell you a little bit about him. He's highly experienced. His firm of CPAs is based in Boynton Beach, Florida, and he's been there for more than 18 years now, and he takes care of almost everything that a CPA firm can do. I mean, they also specialize in forensic accounting, tax preparation, of course. He's a business consultant. If you're going to start a business, he can advise you on how to really structure the firm from a tax advantage perspective. And also, they do bookkeeping for a lot of other firms and individuals as well. So anyway, let's bring our guest on. His name is Neil Fishman. He has been with us before here on Close Up Talk Radio, but it's been a while. So welcome back, Neil. Nice to have you back with us. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Doug. Thank you very much for having me back.
Listen, it's our pleasure. You know, when I say you're highly experienced and you have so many credentials behind your name, it amazes me. You know, you really have done your work to become the CPA. You are a graduate, of course, of the State University of New York at Oneonta. You're a member of the National Conference of CPA Practitioners, a member of the New York State Society of CPAs, the Florida Institute of CPAs, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, and the Association of Certified Anti-Money Laundering Specialists, and the Forensic CPA Society. And in addition, you are a representative to the National Public Liaison's Office at the Internal Revenue Service. That's a mouthful. You are busy, and you've done a lot of work.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. As my father used to say, I have a cornucopia of letters after my name.
You know, I was
just
going to say,
but it has been a lot. No, it's not.
A lot of people think being a CPA sounds like it would be kind of boring. You're just sitting at a desk looking at numbers all day long. But, you know, you almost sound like you're a part-time detective. And in some respects, you are. If you're doing forensic accounting, isn't that the truth?
With forensic accounting, it can be. But even with the general work for a client, making sure that everything is properly categorized and reported, so this way when the tax return is prepared, and if by some quirk you do get the letter saying we from the IRS or any taxing authority, you know, as the old saying is, the devil's in the details, and making sure that everything is properly categorized is important. So sometimes when a client is doing it themselves and we come in, we, the CPA firm, and we review, we want to make sure that everything is properly reported, so this way you don't get the IRS or any other taxing authority saying we have a problem here.
Yeah, that no one wants. You know, I pointed out that we are beyond the April 15th tax deadline for most people. That's individuals. Corporations have a different date. I think it's a month earlier. But still, a firm like yours is busy year-round. For those who filed extensions, they weren't ready to file by the April 15th, what's the deadline for them to have to file?
Okay, so like you said, there's a March 15th deadline. Actually, there are three primary deadlines. There's March 15th, there's April 15th, and there's May 15th. The March 15th is for partnerships and S-corp, what are called S-corporations. Personal returns and corporations on a calendar year are April 15th, and nonprofits are May 15th. And if you cannot get the return filed by those dates, you follow the extension. That gives you an additional 6 months. So March goes to September, April to October, and May to November. And, you know, a lot of times, even for corporate clients, we can't get the job done timely. We cannot get the job done efficiently. We can't get the job. We don't want to rush through and make a mistake. So sometimes we have to put clients on extension. Other times the clients do not get us the information on a timely basis, and we have no choice but to put them on extension.
Right.
So the work never ends.
But you do keep busy year-round. Describe, do me a
yes.
favor. Your firm is really, it's a highly qualified firm. How do you describe your firm? You know, I ask you, tell me about Fishman Associates. How would you describe
okay,
it?
Okay, well, when I meet with a prospective client, let's talk a business client, I explain that we are a full service CPA firm from the tax and accounting perspective. So, of course, what does that mean? It means we will do as much or as little as the client wants us to do. Some clients will say, here, I will give you my bank statements on a monthly or on a quarterly basis, and you do all the write-up work. Others will say, well, I'm doing it, but I want you to come in and periodically review what I'm doing to make sure that I'm putting everything correctly. And others will just come to us once a year with their books and records, for example, on a let's say they're using, you know, doing it themselves, and they have everything on a flash drive, and they give it to me, and then I review it at the end of the year and make whatever necessary adjustments have to be made. It's really what the client wants done. How much do they want us involved? How much do they want to do themselves? That is really the key.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No.
I was going to ask you,
no,
there are
please.
Those who like to do their own taxes, but I gather that's not the smartest idea, is it?
Well, I'll put it this way. Many years ago, a colleague of mine said, if all you have is a W-2 and a little bit of interest, you can pretty much do it yourself. Once you get beyond that, once you have investments, once you have a business, then it becomes a little more complicated, a little more complex, and you really do need somebody who knows the tax law. The tax law, you have to remember, is changing every year. Some years there may not be as much change. Other years there will be major changes. For example, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was passed in 2017. It's first starting to make the news now, but in 2025, or at the end of 25, if the new Congress does nothing, the provisions regarding personal income taxes are all scheduled to sunset, to expire. What that means is everything reverts back to 2017. So, for example, the tax brackets, there are seven of them, which were reduced anywhere from 1% to 4%. Which we're currently under, they go back up 1% to 4%. The standard deduction, which was, as I call it, supersized, goes back down. The exemptions, which were eliminated, they come back. The limitation on state and local taxes on your federal return, if you're itemizing, capped at $10,000 under Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that limitation is gone. Casualty losses are no longer restricted to just being in a declared federal disaster area. That's just a few things. And there are some other things that will happen, but of course, we will not know what Congress is going to do specifically until after the election in November, when we know what the makeup is going to be and what is going to be their attitude about everything.
Wow. Is it actually Congress that passes some rules, like you were just pointing out? The members of Congress
yes.
vote on these things? Wow.
It is Congress, yes. Everything comes, all legislation, all tax law comes out of the committee called House Ways and Means.
Okay.
And that has to pass through the House. Then, of course, the Senate has to deal with it. And then, of course, if they pass different bills, they have to have a joint committee meet to work out the differences.
I'm surprised that members of Congress, individual members of Congress, would have enough knowledge about tax laws, you know, to really wage in and pass those kind of laws. It's more than I thought many members of Congress would be interested in doing or really have the knowledge to do.
Well,
anyway,
I was going to ask you, go ahead.
What inspired you to be? Your dad was an accountant, is that right? Did I hear you say that?
My father was a CPA, and he brought me into the business. You know, actually, when I first went to college, he encouraged me first to go to become both a CPA and an attorney. I could spend a few months of the year doing taxes, and I could spend the rest of the time doing whatever measure of law. But, you know, there are a number of CPAs who are also attorneys. A very good friend of mine, he's a CPA, but he primarily is an attorney. He focuses on elder law issues, but, you know, it can be a whole variety. But, yes, my father was. He encouraged me. I actually pursued an entirely different path, and then he approached me about coming to work for him on a trial basis, and then I agreed, and then he said, just give me 6 months. If after 6 months you don't want to do this, you can go. But when the time came to stay or go, I stayed. I went back to school for accounting. Took a few years, and then I sat for the.
What was the original exam path?
That took a couple of years.
Yeah. What was the original path you were going to take before your dad persuaded you to come in to try the firm?
I mean, when I went to college, I was originally pre-law, but as I tell people today, I'm just a dull, boring CPA with a bachelor's degree in theater.
Well, there you are. Now it comes out. A bachelor's degree in theater. Did you have that notion of maybe you would try the theater? Growing up in New York, obviously, near Broadway, the Great White Way?
Well, junior high, when I was in school, I was in sang in the chorus. I did a couple of the musicals when I was in high school. When I went to college, the path was originally pre-law history, but facts and circumstances happened that said I wanted to pursue and become an actor, but did a few things, nothing major. I mean, there are some things you can see me in, but mostly you have to know when not to blink.
I understand. You know, I also understand that you're somewhat concerned the number of people who are taking CPA exams these days is on the decline. Encourage young people with an analytical and critical thinking skill to consider becoming a CPA. You testify, obviously, it's a really rewarding and wonderful career, but it's declining. Interest in it among young people today is declining. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, first of all, several years ago, they changed the requirements from just having 120 college hours to 150, so an extra year of school. That is one thing. Also, there is what people refer to as the work compression, because especially from mid-January to mid-April, if you are doing tax and accounting work, if you're preparing tax returns, there is a lot of work that you have to get done in a very short amount of time. But, of course, even the larger firms, they put a lot of clients on extension because, one, that gives their staff work to do during the year. You know, many people, you know, I've had to point out to a number of clients that the one credential I do not have after my name is G-O-D. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so much I can get done, and that's anybody. So it does tend to shy a lot of people away, but there's plenty of opportunity that if you're willing to put in the work and the ethics, and you have the work ethic to do this, you can have you can make a very nice living. You can have a very comfortable lifestyle. Yes, you're working your tail off, especially those first few months. But then again, the people who don't want to do this, who go into accounting and go into other aspects of accounting, you know, they have, in any profession, in any aspect of accounting, there are deadlines. If you go and work the private sector, you have deadlines because you have month-end reports, quarterly-end reports, reports all the time that you have to get done. Now, it's just like they talk about people who are teachers. Like they say, there are certain times of the year you can't take vacation or you can't go on your honeymoon. Well, that can happen in any profession.
So you're busy. It's year-round. No question about that.
Yes.
Let's examine
especially
some of the things.
Especially post-COVID.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I really hadn't considered that, post-COVID. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about some of these specialty things that you do in your firm does. Describe forensic accounting involved.
Well, okay, well, forensic accounting is more investigative. Are you familiar, do you know what an audit is, Doug? Are you familiar with an audit?
I know
okay,
what
well,
an audit is.
Well, okay. Okay, so for those who don't, when you're doing an audit, a company has prepared their financial statements, and the auditor comes in to review the books and records to determine whether or not the financial statements are a true representation of the business. That's an audit. A forensic examination is very similar, but one of the major differences is that with a forensic examination, you do not give an opinion. You say, this is what I investigated, this is what I found, and it is up to the others who you're reporting to determine who might be responsible. So it could be a matrimonial situation where, you know, there's a business involved or a business is involved and one spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse is buying out the other, or their division of assets, to be fair. It could be that if it's a business that somebody, you're suspecting somebody of stealing. We're busy all the time, but we don't see the money in the bank account. Where's the money going? So it can be a variety of different things. But those are two of the more basic. Matrimonial, or you suspect a partner or somebody who has authority is stealing from your business.
So that's when you
even,
get involved.
It could even be the, and yes, and that's when you can get involved with that, exactly.
All right, so that's really highly specific accounting, and you're going in and looking at almost every dollar and where is it gone, you know, where it came from, and you can trace
mm-hmm.
everything. That takes, I would assume that takes a good bit of time when you do that. It's not easy, right?
Yes, it can. And the younger people who are coming into this profession, they want to become auditors. They want to do forensic work, and that's admirable. But they have to be grounded, just like anything else, you have to be grounded in the basics. My father always used to say the numbers tell a story. And that is very true, because you look at the numbers to see where is the money going. You look at the numbers. You have to then, you see the tax return. So you look at for insurance, what insurances are being paid. You look at the office expenses, you know, and then from seeing the numbers there, you may need to go further back. You need to look at the actual bills that were received by the company to verify that these are legitimate expenses. I mean, one of the greatest things is what they call the ghost employee, where somebody who's in charge of all the personnel, they put an extra person or two on the books who do not exist. I mean, and there's money going out that shouldn't be, and somebody's stealing from there. Or there have been situations where you have a business manager, a sporting goods store manager, where the business opens at 9, but they let a friend in, say, at 8 o'clock in the morning to buy merchandise, to buy equipment, and they don't run it through the register. They take the cash themselves. There are stories, there are situations. It's, a lot of things, especially being in Florida, you know, you have these people who are guardians. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but some people take advantage of other people who have nobody else.
Wow. Ghost employee, that's a new one. I have not heard that mentioned before. That's very interesting. Let me ask you another question. What do you think the skills are required to become a CPA? What should you really have in your head to do your kind of work?
Well, good math skills, obviously. I mean, just mm-hmm. because you enter data into a program doesn't mean it's always correct. I mean, hey, we're human. We can make mistakes also. I mean, if I made a mistake, the first thing you do is admit the mistake and say, I was wrong. I erred. You do that. You have to have good math skills. You have to have good interpersonal skills because you're talking to clients. One thing I do that may make me different from other firms is when I think I have the tax return done, I'm going to give you a call and discuss it with you before we finalize it, just to make sure you understand, because remember, you're signing off on that return. You're signing off on that authorization form, giving me the authority, giving me the permission to submit your tax return to the IRS or to a state on your behalf. You know, in the days before electronic filing, I prepared the return, I signed it, I gave it to you, you signed it, you took it to the post office. Now it's, I prepare the return, you sign an authorization form, I submit the return. So you have to, just because you've entered in the program doesn't mean it's correct. So explaining to your clients, and of course, if the clients get a letter from the taxing authority questioning that they're saying that there's a problem, you have to be able to see what the situation is and be able to explain it to your clients. So you definitely need to have people skills. You have to be able to talk with people, talk to people. You just can't say this. Sometimes you can say this is it, this is what happened, but you have to explain why. Like I said, if I'm calling you and I'm talking about your return this year and there are differences, I'm trying to explain why, what the differences are. Your salary went up. This year we had a number of people where their investment income went up because this past year interest rates finally went back up a lot. So I had a number of clients that they had a lot of additional interest and dividend income, and you explain that to them. This is why their tax liability is that much more this year than it was the year before, and that's why they now owe some additional money.
Yeah, yeah.
No, one thing we always tell clients, or at least I always tell, one thing I always tell clients is it is their responsibility that if they know something is happening, to let me know now. Do not wait until February, March of next year to say, this happened and I have this additional $50,000 of income. Because if you wait till next year to tell me, there's nothing I can do about it, whereas if I know about it this year, then there are things that we can possibly do. And you have to remember that every individual, every client is a different situation. There is no blanket answer for everybody.
That is so true. You know, among the many things you do, I'm amazed or kind of fascinated by the fact you are a member of the Association of Certified Anti-Money Laundering Specialist. Describe that role. What's that about?
Well, I haven't really done much of that, but as you know, the government is always looking at, the money that is moved around illegally. Or
yeah.
Basically, this is money from, it could be from drugs, it could be from arms, it could be human trafficking, those sorts of things. And the people who get the money from there, that is what they call dirty money, and they have to find ways to get it clean. For example, you have somebody in this country who's trying to get money out to somebody in another country, so they know somebody here who says, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars, I want you to send over to your relatives in this other country. And when they get the money there, they will give some of that money to their partner, compatriot, whoever, whatever you want to call the person they're doing business with. That's referred to in part as the black market peso exchange, because we're talking Central and South America mostly in there.
Right.
But and the people who do that, the people who do the wire transfers, like you have these businesses that will, you'll come in and you say, I want to wire money to somebody over in another country. They have to keep logs and records, and they're supposed to review these records periodically to see if there's anything that suspicious. So, for example, a number of people come in and they all send money to a same location, different people. I mean, it's not saying that they're doing anything illegal, but then you have to file a what is called a suspicious activity report that is filed with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. That's called FinCEN. That's the acronym. That's a division of the Treasury Department. Just and not saying that they're doing anything illegal, but saying something doesn't strike, something doesn't smell right. No, it's acronym KYC, Know Your Customer. Same thing with the banks, if you're constantly bringing in cash deposits. But, you know, a lot, there are a lot fewer businesses that deal strictly in cash. Like laundromats used to deal in cash all the time.
Right.
Now, they don't necessarily. They, you know, they'll go in, they'll give you a, you will use a machine, you'll get a card, you'll put use your credit card to put money on that card so you can use the washers and the dryers. But you have to, the banks have to know their customers and the businesses have to know their customers to know whether something is suspicious or not. I mean, if it's not suspicious, they're not going to file a suspicious activity report.
That is so interesting. You know, your firm is based in Boynton Beach, Florida. I know you're licensed in many areas. Do you do tax work for companies or individuals who are outside of the state of Florida? I mean, or do you?
Oh yeah.
You know,
I'm from New York originally, so I'm from the New York metropolitan area originally. So I still have clients in New York, in New Jersey, and I have business clients up there. I also have personal return clients that are in New York, New Jersey. I file returns. I can file prepare returns for anybody in all 50 states.
In all 50? Well,
so,
that's remarkable.
You know,
good for you.
In all 50. Well, there are, I think, seven that don't have a state income tax, but yes.
Yeah, like Florida.
Yes, like Florida.
Let me ask you a question. Has being a CPA changed much in the years since you started the work? How would you answer that?
Well, yes, it has, because of technology, and it's going to keep changing because of technology. But we have to remember, we have to control the technology. We can't let the technology control us. AI is coming into accounting. But again, until it knows how to do everything properly, part of the thing is reviewing to make sure that everything is in the right place. It will take time for even AI to learn how to do that. For example, you have a couple of different business loans and making sure that when the payments are being made, they're going into the right, whether it's the expense account or reducing a liability. AI will not necessarily know that right from the beginning.
Yeah.
It will take time. It learns. That's why it's artificial intelligence. But still, it has to be reviewed to make sure that it's putting everything correctly.
Well, there's so much to do in this field. It's interesting. You know, I want to point out you have won a lot of awards. In fact, not too long ago, Accounting Today named you as one of the top 100 most influential people in the accounting profession. And you have also authored articles which have appeared in several publications for accounting, including the CPA Journal, which is one of the Bibles of your business. Listen, it's such a treat to have you as a guest. I wish we had more time. Anybody interested in talking to Neil or learning about his firm, go to your website. The website is Fishman Associates, ASSOC.com. Fishman, ASSOC for Associates.com. Neil, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We'd love to do this again. Good luck to you. And, you know, I know you love what you're doing. Obviously, you're in the right place at that point in your life, aren't you? You love what you do, don't you, right?
Well, as they say, if you love what you do, then you're not working. But, I very much enjoy what I do. I like helping people. That's part of what accounting is.
And that's what it's all about.
It's not just doing the work. It's also educating the clients.
Good for you, Neil. Thank you. We're out of time. We got to go, but I appreciate your being with us. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now. You did a great job, Neil. That was good. Thank you so much. Really.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think we covered a lot of territory.
I hope so.
We could always, you know, you're a great person to talk to any time of year. Doesn't have to be tax time, you know. So I thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, Scott, I saw you called. You tried to get to me. I'm sorry about that. I was in the midst of doing a radio broadcast. I normally turn the telephones off. I friggin' forgot this time. So that's what I was interviewing a certified public accountant in Florida, so just learning all about taxes and forensic accounting, stuff like that. Anyway, how are you? I'm hanging in there, keeping busy. That's the same thing. We got a lot of stuff going in our backyard. It's kind of crazy right now. So, they're putting in a patio, a slate patio, kind of and they're battling the rain. I'm telling you, they started this over a week ago, and every time you turn around, they have to stop working because the rain is coming. This thing was supposed to take 5 or 6 days. It's going to take 2.5 weeks the way it's going right now. It's crazy. Anyway, so I have to walk the dogs a lot. I can't let them out there, you know, because they've got plumb lines running all across the yard where they're laying the slate. She does. It's amazing. Anyway, I miss seeing you. You okay? Everything all right? Good. When do you go? Oh, you got time yet? Yeah. Okay. I envy you. That sounds like such a cool trip. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. Just wonderful. We've been busy. Our girls are home from college, you know, and they're in and out. Like they came barging in. Well, four of them have been in town. They're back from SMU in Dallas, and Caroline is here too. She's getting ready to go to med school in July. She is leaving for a trip to, let's see, this is Tuesday. On Thursday, she's going to Bali and then Vietnam. Yes, how about that? She is so well traveled. She's been to the Taj Mahal in India. She's been all over the place. I don't know. She and a friend of hers are going on this trip that they've put together, and this thing together, and apparently Vietnam is quite something.
I wouldn't, you know, don't talk to a veteran from Vietnam. Would he even want to go back? Anyway, apparently it can be quite interesting, quite nice. Yeah. Well, I hear it's, you know, the twins who last summer, their one of their trips, their SMU abroad trips, they did a dance program in Bali. They were there a month, and they loved it. They just were fabulously, you know, in love with the island of Bali. So I think that's one of the reasons why Caroline Daly wants to go see Bali. She wants to see what her sister saw and experienced. So it's quite something special. And to get there was, they had to go to, where did they fly through? I can't think of the airport. It slips in my mind right now. But it was, you know, many, many hours on the airplane to get over to Bali. Anyway, so we got to have lunch one of these days, okay? You're available. You're here. All right. I can't do it today. I would love to do it today. My wife is out. She's doing stuff. I'm here alone with the puppies. but I keep thinking about doing it. Seriously, and I'm, you know, I stay busy. Crazy. I stay busy, so. Yeah. Well, I'm also doing research on this book, and I've got to get this thing done. I have to work. I have to, and I just have not been accomplishing what I should, and I just got to sit down and go to work on it, because I really do think it's something I should do. I think I can make some money off this. If you want to come back down to it. Anyway. Yeah, I know you. Okay, I'll do that for you. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, everything was all right. I saw you had called. And, great insurance. It's great. We've talked about that. No. I first heard about it from a travel specialist who writes books about travel on TV. He was on the Today Show a lot. He was a regular guest, and he talked about the best insurance he thought for travelers was MedJet. So I looked him up on the internet, and I ended up buying that insurance for when we were going up. Both times that we've gone over to the Netherlands, I've purchased their insurance. My problem, I've aged out now. I can't buy it anymore. They won't sell it to me anymore. Exactly. But, you know, it's great insurance. If something should happen to you, they'll arrange to fly you home, hospital, jet, you know, fly you back to a hospital in your hometown. I'm sure it would. I didn't do that. That covers riots or something like that, isn't that right? Yeah. No, I didn't do that. I mean, if I was flying to New York, yeah, I might want the riot insurance. But no, going to Amsterdam, I didn't think we needed the riots. I didn't spring for that. But that's what I got for us, and it's just been very, very highly recommended. Okay, so. If you're going to do it, I mean, if you're thinking of it, I would tell you, go for it. It's worth it. Exactly. Sure you are. I felt the same way. I felt... Yeah. Now, I totally understand. I felt the same way. Totally. Dale and I talked about it. Listen, if something happens to me, come on, you need help. So, as long as you're spending as much money as you do on one of these things, I know sometimes you think that extra money, but
thought it was worth it, really. That's
easy. Yeah. They don't have branch offices around or, you know, representatives around. It's all based where their office is. I've forgotten where it is right now. That's where it all is. Have you looked it up on the internet? Did you go on the internet? Because it's great. It's a great description of everything they do. Call them on the phone. Call them on the phone. Okay. Yeah. They'll tell you. Okay. 75. You sound so young. You're still a kid. Yes, you are. All right. Okay, I'm going to look at my calendar. I'm not at it right now, but I'll budget. We're going to get together, okay? No question about it. All right. Talk to you later. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.